According to estimates from the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, roughly a third of Wisconsin's counties do not have any OBGYNs, and there are about 550 OBGYNs serving more than 2.5 million women in Wisconsin. With those numbers in mind, we're looking at bipartisan legislation that's awaiting the president's signature called the Improving Access to Maternity Care Act. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is on the line from her office in Washington, and she was a co-sponsor of this bill with Alaska Republican Lisa Murkowski. Senator Baldwin, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So before we get to maternal care and provider shortages, let's take a quick look at the latest news out of Washington since we have this opportunity with you. First of all, this government shutdown that is looming over the issue of border security. And if the president follows through on that threat, about a quarter of the federal government would begin to run out of money in about 8 days. Democrats and Republicans are really far apart on funding this wall. Where do you stand on this, and how do you plan to vote?
Well, first of all, in the Congress, I think that Democrats and Republicans have come to a consensus about the remaining spending bills that we want to send to the president. And included in there is the funding bill for the Homeland Security Agency, which has as a big part of its charge border security and port security. Both houses of Congress have agreed on a figure of $1.6 billion for border security. But we've relied on expert advice from our Homeland Security Department and others on what form that should take. And most of the experts agree that in some places a wall might be appropriate, but in many others are far superior security measures for our border. And the problem, as I see it, is our president, is insisting upon a concrete wall and isn't able to make Mexico pay for it, as he suggested during his entire campaign for president. And so he is, he said he'd be proud to shut down the government over this this dispute. But I want to see the government keep open. I know my Republican colleagues want to see the government keep open and running. And there's absolutely no need for this this threat, as far as I'm concerned. There's no reason for President Trump to shut down the U.S. government because he hasn't been able to, keep his promise to have Mexico pay for a border wall at our southern border. But border security is a key priority in the funding bills that we would like to send to the president.
So somehow you're going to have to bridge that gap between $5 billion and $1.6 billion. There's going to have to be a lot of compromise in there.
There will be. I think the most responsible thing for us to do is pass agreed upon legislation funding the remaining part of the government, as you mentioned, somewhere between 20 and 25% of the funding is left to make it through Congress. And, if the president wants to reject that, that's his choice. But I think we could send him, with strong bipartisan agreement in the Congress, both houses, could send him the remaining funding bills for his signature.
Well, Congress just passed an $867 billion farm bill this week that had broad bipartisan support. You supported the 2019 farm bill, while Republican Senator from Wisconsin Ron Johnson voted against it. How do you think the bill will affect Wisconsin?
Well, our agricultural sector is in enormous stress and turmoil right now. Particularly, as you know, Wisconsin is America's dairyland. Our dairy farmers are in particular troublesome times right now. It's been almost a perfect storm of adverse conditions. So the price of milk has been low for a number of years now. there's an oversupply, and then you add to that issues like retaliatory tariffs from Mexico and China on cheese products, and we're the number one producer of cheese in the country, as well as retaliatory tariffs against some of our specialty crops in Wisconsin, like cranberries, for example. We've had such stress, and this farm bill really begins to provide meaningful relief, particularly in the dairy industry. What dairy farmers need is a way to manage their risk for the good years and the bad years. And the risk management tools that were added to the last farm bill that was passed a little over 5 years ago, those haven't worked the way they were intended to. So they have been strengthened significantly. And what dairy farmers can expect is to pay lower premiums, but have more robust coverage so that the program for risk management really begins to recognize the losses that they face on a monthly basis when the price for milk is so low, and these other actions like the retaliatory tariffs have weighed in to make the situation even worse.
Talking with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin about issues swirling around Capitol Hill. She was also co-sponsor of the Improving Access to Maternity Care Act, where we'll turn our attention to now. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Are you a mother in rural Wisconsin? What was your prenatal experience? If you're a woman's health physician, what is your take on this issue? You can call in at 800-642-1234, tweet us WPR Mornings. So this bill that you co-sponsored passed the Senate this week, the Improving Access to Maternity Care Act. What inspired you to co-sponsor this bill?
Well, in part, it was hearing from expectant mothers in Wisconsin and hearing stories like Rachel's. Rachel is a mother who lives in Sister Bay, Wisconsin. That's Door County. And she shared with me her story of driving 90 minutes to Green Bay in labor just to locate a doctor who could deliver her second baby. And that is the situation faced by way too many in Wisconsin who live in rural areas where there is no maternity care available in their home communities. And we know that good prenatal care, regular prenatal care, is essential to leading to healthier babies and healthier mothers, healthier pregnancies and births. If you do not receive prenatal care, there's a 3-time greater likelihood for low birth weight, and frankly, the receiving no prenatal care can lead to 5 times more greater likelihood that a baby might die.
So, Senator,
We can do something about it.
How is this bill going to improve health care for rural Wisconsinites? What in it is going to change the situation?
So this is a two-pronged approach intended to bring maternity care services to underserved areas. So right now, the federal government looks at where there is inadequate access to certain types of health care, and it's focused so far on inadequate access to primary care, mental health services, and dental care. But they do not specifically look at inadequate access to maternity care. So we are now instructing the agency that looks at these issues to be very specific about where there's a gap for maternity care. And then the second prong of this measure is to work with the National Health Services Corps, which specializes in putting trained obstetricians and gynecologists, as well as advanced practice maternity care nurses in areas that are underserved. And so this two-pronged approach is a very cost-effective way of beginning to close this gap that too many rural women in America face.
And Senator Baldwin, Philomena in Ashland, Wisconsin here would love to get a point in. Philomena, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Philomena Quebec. So one of the things that we're dealing with here in northern Wisconsin is this epidemic of opioids. And there are a lot of pregnant women in my community in Bend River who are dependent on opioids when they become pregnant. And we don't also have enough doctors who are waivered to do Suboxone. The other issue that we also deal with sometimes is these women end up in jail.
And Philomena, I have to cut you off there, and I think Senator Baldwin can have a moment here to respond to you on the opioids and pregnant women.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, in my trips to Ashland in particular, over the past few years, I've had occasion to host roundtables and stakeholder meetings on the opioid epidemic specifically in Ashland. And I know that the first time I visited, there was really not a lot of treatment resources available in the immediate community. And working together, there has been a significant step forward to close that gap with a community health clinic that is now able to expand their provision of behavioral health services, including addiction services.
And we have to stop right there, Senator Baldwin. Thank you so much for joining us. That was U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin talking about her legislation on maternal care. We'll continue this conversation here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. UW-Madison's Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology offers a rural residency training track providing specific training for physicians in rural women's health. This as Wisconsin and the country faces a shortage of doctors, especially in rural areas. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dr. Ryan Spencer oversees UW-Madison's Rural OBGYN Residency Program. Dr. Spencer, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
And so as we look at the situation in rural parts of Wisconsin, I really want to set it up with Zach in Wapaka, who's joining us. Zach, go ahead. What do you see as a family doctor?
Thanks for taking my call. So one of the things at the front line in a rural place, I work at a critical access hospital, is opportunities for family docs and general surgeons to train to do C-sections. The rural continuity clinic or the rural clinic with OBGYN is a great idea. It's just there isn't any massive workforce that's going to be coming out of that program. And the vast majority of C-sections and maternity care in rural places is general surgeons, family docs, and midwives.
Thank you so much for that call, Zach. So really seeing that you have to do a number of different things in rural areas that you really can't specialize.
I really appreciate Zach's call and comments that he has. There's so much work to be done, especially in the state of Wisconsin, where almost 40% of counties don't have an OBGYN doctor. Zach brings out a great point in that there are opportunities both in general surgery for rural training, family medicine, as well as OBGYN, and that's why we've decided to start the program, our rural training track.
So this rural residency program started in 2016, the first residents matched in 2017. How is this program doing? It lasts 4 years, and how is it going?
We think it's going remarkably well, and I should say all credit goes to two individuals, Ellen Hartenbach and Jody Silva, who really took this program from its infancy and made it the success it already is today. The point of the program is to select an individual each year who has specific interest in working in a rural location after residency, and during their training provide them opportunities to understand what it's like to practice in those communities and be a part of those communities.
And so how many people are in the residency program?
Our total residency class is 7 residents per year. One of them is selected as the rural training track.
So that's not a lot of residents there. As Zach said, I mean, we need massive amounts. So how do you reconcile that?
One thing, as you heard from Senator Baldwin just minutes ago, that's one pathway, is to be able to provide opportunities for physicians already in practice who want to move into rural communities. And then the other approach is what we're taking is, well, now small, trying to inspire other places around the country to start their own rural training tracks. And we've had opportunities to receive calls from many places about how to start this type of program. In fact, in February, we're traveling down to New Orleans to present at our National Education Conference on how to begin and sustain a program like we have here in Wisconsin.
Once you see residents get into rural areas, do you find that they evolve in some way, their perspective about practicing in a rural area?
Well, we know from data from studies that people who have a rural training experience are 2 to 3 times more likely to go into a rural setting to practice. I can tell you anecdotally, in our residents who've gone to these rural sites so far, they come back with an excitement about what they've experienced. They really seem to just take on this idea that they're going to become part of a small community and not only practice, but be an integral piece in that community to improve the health there.
But let's look at the trade-offs here. I mean, is it true that rural specialists would be working longer hours, probably traveling around a region to smaller clinics to see patients who may not have insurance, perhaps paid less than an urban doctor who would practice in a well-appointed clinic or hospital and see patients who do have insurance? I mean, there's a lot of trade-offs there.
There are a lot of challenges. And I will say, everyone who picks a practice type in medicine goes into it trying to understand what the pros and cons of that practice are. I will also tell you, when you have a love and a passion for what you want to do, some of those things that at the outset may seem significant fade away a little bit. And I can see that in our residents in this track, that they're eyes wide open as to the challenges of practicing in smaller communities. But when they go there, they have a specific love to practice in those communities because most of them are from there. They see the need. They want to fulfill the need.
What are the biggest challenges they face being a physician in rural parts of Wisconsin?
I think you bring up a lot of good points just moments ago. Sometimes it can feel like a smaller setting in a community. You may not feel like you have the support that you've had in bigger settings during your training time, so that may be one of them. I think that we are trying to prepare our trainees as much as possible for the realities of what they might face. And practicing with those doctors during their training program, they can pick their brain. They can ask them how they manage challenging situations in their day-to-day practice so they, when they get out into practice, they can hit the ground running and not have to worry about what those challenges are and how to solve them. They already have an idea of how to work through those.
Talking with Dr. Ryan Spencer, who oversees UW-Madison's Rural OBGYN Residency Program, looking at the issues that are faced by physicians who practice in rural areas and to get residents into rural communities, specifically who have training in obstetrics and gynecology. You can join in with your situation, what you've seen, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Spencer, how have the communities involved in this program responded to it in the first few years?
We have remarkable community partners. Right now, we have residents set up to go into Portage, Waupun, and Monroe. We're out there pounding the pavement right now looking for additional partners. We were just up in Baldwin, Wisconsin, had a lovely visit at Western Wisconsin Health. We're going over to Sauk Prairie soon, as well into Dodgeville. So we're really trying to get a really robust and varied experience for the residents in this track.
So more settings perhaps would mean more residents. Is that right? Or...
Well, our hope certainly is, if this continues to be successful and we're able to have logistics and funding available, that we could expand the program. And like you said, one at a time is a slow drip. We'd like to not only in Wisconsin, but other parts of the country, open up these programs to increase the amount of physicians wanting to practice in rural settings, taking advantage of what we're seeing in the improving access to Maternity Care Act.
Dr. Spencer, what are some of the negative impacts a woman may face if she doesn't get the proper maternity care, prenatal care?
What we see is improved access is improved outcomes for moms and babies. And that means less women with complications of pregnancy in settings where they may not be able to take care of them adequately. Improvements in low birth weight infants and improvements in maternal and neonatal mortality.
So you can actually see that in the data.
We know that if a woman gets the appropriate amount of prenatal care at the appropriate setting at the right time, outcomes are improved across the board.
So earlier this hour, we spoke with Senator Tammy Baldwin about the Improving Access to Maternity Health Care Act. Specifically, do you think this legislation will help address issues facing women here in rural Wisconsin?
I think it will. I think what we're going to see is as we dedicate resources into these communities, physicians are going to understand that they're valued in those communities. They're going to look at those jobs at an increasing rate. And I think people are going to have a better opportunity to provide the kind of care they've always been used to in any type of setting.
So as we also saw through this legislation, there's not only a focus on OBGYNs, but a focus on nurses with specialties in women's health, nurse practitioners. Is that part of the formula here to address women's health in rural areas?
We don't specifically have a piece in our program since we train physicians specifically, but I can tell you advanced practice providers like certified midwives are certainly a wonderful area that can enrich these communities and provide really important care as well.
Do you see a future where in order for you to really get physicians to practice and stay in rural America that you will have to start this type of training early on in their medical student career?
That's a great point. There are programs that do so. Wisconsin has one. It's called the Wisconsin Academy for Rural Medicine, or WARM. Other states around the country who have state-sponsored medical schools have similar programs for that exact reason. We know that people that have an inkling or an interest in rural medicine, if they get those experiences and see how rewarding they can be, are way more likely to end up practicing in rural communities.
Well, Dr. Spencer, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Kate. Thank you.
Dr. Ryan Spencer is an assistant professor in the UW-Madison Gynecologic Oncology Program. He oversees the Rural OBGYN Residency Program. Just ahead, we learn what happens to our data when we die. Majority of Americans don't prepare for this, and we'll dig into why. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.